The Doc and Carolyn podcast.
I told you this story.
You did.
But this is a true story. So I'm in line. H-E-B is like Kroger if you're not in Texas.
H-E-B is not like Kroger.
You know what? It's a big grocery store. It's privately owned, but it's fantastic.
H-E-B is fabulous.
Okay. So the Texas version of Kroger is fantastic. So keep in mind, this is a true story. This really happened. I'm in line at H-E-B.
Wait.
What?
What is that music? Where is that coming from?
I added that for drama.
Oh, good grief. No, turn that off.
Yes, dear. But I'm in line checking out, right? So I'm standing there and a lady comes and stands in front of me, comes and stands in front of my cart. And I'm like, I just thought that was odd. She didn't have anything in her hands. And then presumably, I guess her husband comes up and puts his whole cart in front of me in line here.
So was there any question about where the line was?
No. And it wasn't like some kids who were just not paying attention or somebody that was want to be hard. It was none of that. It was an older man and wife.
Maybe he didn't even know that his wife cut in front of you.
Mm-mm. No, this was coordinated. The way she stood there and then he rolled up gangsta style. We used to call it Bogarting back in the day. He just Bogarted and moved in front of me and they didn't even look at me really. It was almost like I wasn't there.
It's frustrating though, especially if you're in a hurry.
Yeah, I wasn't. Though, and I reasoned that way. I said, you know, I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere. But again, this could be a sign. This is perfect for the show because we're doing a show on prepping. We're talking about, and not, you know, half our audience. We have a lot of police officers, military personnel, people like that, that listen. We have people in Europe, Italy, Spain, Texas, and South America. So we have, and I don't know how those cultures, if you guys are into prepping or if you feel like you need to be prepared beyond 1 or 2 days supplies or whatever, in case something with the infrastructure of government breaks down.
That's so, always a good idea.
Breaks down. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, breathe. But could that be a sign? This could be the trigger. Like people cutting in front of you at the grocery store could be the one, like that straw that breaks the proverbial back and
set off the ending of the world.
See, now you make it sound silly, but that really did happen. We'll be on with the Prepper Guy in our Everyday People segment.
This week
up.
On the NP is In, I want to talk about two of the many benefits of growing your own food. You don't have to have a lot of space. You can grow food in pots on your back porch if you need to. The first benefit is knowing that it is free of pesticides and knowing exactly what you're eating. The second, and maybe even the most important, after seeing how fragile the supply chain was during COVID, is knowing that if there is a problem, your family will have nutritious food available. These are just two things to consider. That's it for the NP is In. Happy wellness.
It's Texas Tootie with another fun fact about Texas. Amarillo, Texas has the world's largest helium supply and is called the helium capital of the world. I'm Texas Tootie, proud mom of a Texas law enforcement officer. Back the blue.
Okay, Prepper Guy, let's make this bite-sized and digestible. If things go south in a hurry, give me the top three things we'll need.
Well, I guess the top three that would come to mind is, food, shelter, and security would be the top three, no matter what it is, whether it's man-made or whether it's, natural occurrence my wife and I were just talking about California here the other day. It's like all the flooding that's going on out there now with these historic rains that they're getting. And it's like these folks are experiencing mudslides. They experience fire. Now they've got this historic rain of all these flooding going on. And I said, and then they're in an earthquake zone. It's like, who the heck wants to live in California? You got the natural occurrences working against you.
Yeah, we were just in Los Angeles a couple of months ago visiting our son and fiance, and because of the rain and the other events out there, we had a long conversation about it. How do you prepare the food part of it without depending on the grocery?
Well, there's some pretty easy ways of doing it. And when I say easy, you can go easy as far as stock up on canned goods and rotate your canned goods out. And when I say rotate, there's a lot of different food products that are out there, it may not be the best of health for you, for at least my choosing, but look at the cans and look at the things that go into them, and then look at the nutritional value of them. And if you don't like eating those things on a daily basis, that's wonderful. But if it has a high nutritional value to it because of whatever's in it, stock up maybe a case or two of those, case or two of something else, whatever, and look at the expiration dates on them. And if you don't want a case because you don't like them and you don't want to rotate through them that often, then just get some of them. There's a number of things, plus your dry goods. But with dry goods, you got to remember to have a water supply, like for rehydration or cooking. So, you know, there's a number of different ways you can prep yourself. Peanut butter has a 2 or 3 year, 4 year shelf life on it. That's got good nutritional value. Now, remember, we're not talking where you're going to be eating peanut butter for the next 8 months.
What are you thinking? We need provisions for 12 hours, 24?
Well, you might even think a week or two. You know, let's say, for instance, you're up in the mountains, you live in a remote part of the area, and a giant mudslide comes through and cuts off your only means of access to get to your property. And according to authorities, it's going to take a month to clear it. Well, you know, that's a month of you not being able to get supplies unless they're either airdropped to you or you're prepared. And it wouldn't be hard to put a month of sustainable food supplies. It may not be the stuff that you would want to eat every day, but if it keeps you alive because it has calories and, you know, it's got nutrition to it, then suck it up for a month. But at least you have the availability to it.
What about water? How do you make sure you have enough water beyond stacking a bunch of plastic bottles?
Even the plastic bottles has a problem with it too, because they put expiration dates on it, and the expiration date isn't necessarily because, oh, your water's going to taste flat. It's because of the material that the bottles are made out of. Now, unless you get the ultra expensive bottles, which I don't even know if they make because I don't buy bottled water, but that are BPA free, that doesn't allow the plastics to leach into the water itself. I don't know. A few cases of water is great as long as you rotate through them and you don't get it to the point where, you know, you have so many cases of bottled water that expired, you know, that expired so long ago that...
It's going to do more harm than good almost. I mean, you have to stay hydrated, and you have to, you know, water is what we cannot do without, obviously.
Correct. So when you consider water, there's other means possible. And again, these are a little bit more of an expense to where you can buy long-term storage like 55-gallon drums or 30-gallon drums or what have you. And you can put some items in it that will sustain it for a long period of time. You put it in a cool, dry place. That's great. But, you know, by and large, if you have a way of being able to collect rainwater, even if it's man-made, that's probably your best bet, because that's an unlimited resource, unless, of course, you live in a drought, you know, prone area. And then you're going to have to figure out other ways. If you got a creek nearby that you can go and pull some, you know, 5 gallon buckets or 3 gallon buckets of water for the occasional need of what you haven't filtered through, I'd advise everybody to invest into a few of those life straws. They have very good reviews too. It's not that I'm a, you know, a company spokesman for any of these products and all, but these are just different things that you can put on a shelf that doesn't go bad, that can be very life sustaining if needed. So life straw, where you draw the water through it, and they even have pumps to where you can do that. So you get that water out of the creek or the pond or what have you. You could boil it. You can store it at short term for something like that and use it for cooking and all that. But water by large is your number one resource that you want to make sure that you have the availability to out of food. You can live 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on your lifestyle, without food. Yes, you'll lose weight and you'll probably lose some energy and all that. But without water, 3, 4, 5 days, you're probably gonna be dead.
Yeah, I was looking at a prepper podcast. This was actually a few years ago, but the host of the podcast said that one of the things that people have not considered is sanitation. If you're 3, 4, 5 people in a structure in a house, and after days disposing, if your toilets aren't functioning properly, let's say you don't have access to your typical or your normal plumbing, that can become a big problem real quick.
Correct.
And I hadn't, you know, that's something that most people won't think about, how to dispose of your waste. Do you have a contingency for that if you don't have water into the house?
I do. The biggest, the easiest way you can do that is bury it. You bury it and be done with it. The biggest problem you have with waste, the biggest part is fecal matter. And once that fecal matter starts to dry out in an environment, especially in a drought type of environment, it starts to become airborne. That's where you start spreading disease. And that's where a lot of the problems start. But that's why the best recommendation is to bury it. Even if it's a communal, a pit that is dug and an outhouse is put down, at least it's going somewhere that's contained. I mean, that's the whole wisdom of the outhouses. I mean, that's why they've been around forever, whether it be for here or anywhere anywhere else in the country or you know, even over on other parts of the world. Yeah, that's the latrine. I mean, you're very well aware of, I'm sure, the latrine, like in the military. That's that is a below surface thing that is controlled and eventually can be covered up. And that is the number one goal. And obviously, you want to put it downstream from anywhere around where you're probably you're getting your water source from. So if it's up on a hillside and you're, you know, to the right side of the hillside, which is upstream, you're getting your water, then you obviously know where your latrine is or where you're burying your waste. And you don't want to go to the left side of that down in the creek.
Yeah.
To get your water from.
Tell me about your chickens, and what do you have on your land? You have chickens, you have goats.
I have two goats. The majority of my livestock though is sheep, and I raise sheep for the meat, for the food, and the chickens as well. And besides the eggs that's produced. So I have meat chickens, and I have just egg laying chickens, and I have my sheep, and I have two goats. I use the goats for, I don't eat the goats. I use the goats for specific projects of weed control.
so,
you know, cause there's,
I don't know why
something.
that sounds fun, but the goats keep the weeds at bay. That's interesting.
Well, you know, I have a saying, and it's not I didn't coin the phrase, but, sheep are lawnmowers and, goats are the bush hogs. The brush hogs itself. Yeah, they are the ones that will stand up on their back legs and get up as far as they can reach on trees and shrubs and as much as they can. And sheep, they pretty much stand on their four legs and don't go anywhere. And there's also certain vegetation that sheep will eat that goats will mow down that the sheep will not eat. Goats will pretty much eat everything, and the sheep will pretty much be selective if possible. But then again, I use what's called regenerative pasture. So I move my livestock around so they're not eating everything down to the ground.
Wow.
I don't use grain because what happens when you use grain? Now you start relying on man-made stuff. I strictly am 100% grass-fed for my sheep. They move around, and that's all they get. Supplement with anything else. And the only thing I do with my chickens is I feed them wheat. I don't grow the wheat. I have an organic grain dealer up in northern Ohio that I used to make a yearly trip to, and I would buy enough grain to sustain my 30 chickens per year. Well, since then, I've upped it to where now I have a three-year reserve with a 1 year for what I'm using. So I have 4 years worth of food for my chickens, and I have 3 years in reserve at all times because now I just go up and get my yearly ration, and I go through the grain that I store in 55-gallon drums. And when I say grain, it's the wheat. It's strictly organic wheat, and then they free range and they go all over the farm, whatever they can find. And on a given day for 30 chickens, they get 3 cups of wheat that I ferment because the fermentation builds the probiotics. I have a 6-bucket system to where they get 2 buckets a day of a cup and a half of wheat kernels in it. And by the time I go full cycle on the third day, the kernels have been fermenting for 3 days. And it softens the wheat up and makes it easier to break down for the chicken and all. And I get delicious eggs.
on the last part of your suggestion, questions is the security end. Obviously, you know, you have the benefit of years of experience through your profession. What can an average guy do? Somebody that's listening, hey, I wasn't in the military. I wasn't the captain of the football team. I haven't been a police officer before. What kind of basic things can you do to make your world a little bit safer?
Well, I think first and foremost, it takes keeping yourself healthy. That's one of the biggest things, because if you're not healthy, if you're overweight, if you're underweight and you can't, you know, pick up a 50-pound animal to move it from one place to another, if you're needing to move your sheep from the field to the barn because of a, you know, that animal's going to die or suffer longer than that. I mean, I'm just giving you some extreme examples here. Or if you're overweight that you can't walk up the 200-foot hill you have there to help one of your animals or something without having a heart attack. That part of that, when I say security, I mean security all around with good health. You've secured good health and you're able to facilitate the things around your farm or even your home on the outside of it with repairs and things like that, and helping your family. Getting more of a secure mindset of I should lock my doors. I should put barriers in between. Maybe I should get a firearm or two and put in my house and get good with it and get the proper training with it and know that if the wolf is on my porch one night and wants to try to kick in my door, I know how to protect my family. You know, we can go anywhere from predator security to, you know, human predator security. It's just a number of things, or security and just physical security around your home, like barriers to keep, to make it harder for, you know, intruders to get into your home, whether it be from locks to just items to put in front of a door, or even first alert type of things like cameras around your home, or a system on your driveway to let you know when a vehicle's coming down your driveway. I mean, just a number of things that to enhance basically your peace of mind at night. Put an alarm system. If you don't want to pay for a local alarm system to be monitored 24/7, you don't want police notified because you live in such a tight-knit community that police will arrive fairly quick when you call 911, okay, put a local alarm system in it. You can buy them all day long to where when a door or window is tripped, the alarm goes off in the house or outside the house. And, you know, all the years that canine and responding to all the burglar alarms, and I'm talking hundreds upon hundreds, I never once with my dog and I have we ever found anybody inside a home that had a audible alarm system or business, because nobody wants to stand around. They bug out.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody wants to say, oh, the alarm's going off. I'll wait here until the police get here since I'm breaking in someone's house.
So it makes a big difference. Yeah,
it does. And then on top of it, a dog makes a big difference. No bad guy likes to break into places with dogs in it, no matter how big the dog is.
It's sobering for anybody to consider that the government might not be available when you need them.
The government is not coming for you. They are not coming to help you. The local police department is not coming to help you. Now, I say that like that. They will, they can, and they will eventually.
I can't say enough how much I appreciate you coming and helping my 11-year-old baby girl learn about your profession. I got to meet that beautiful soul, Jaeger, and got to meet you and all the sacrifice and work you did through your EMT training, your police training, canine, SWAT. I'm honored. We're both honored that you appeared on the show. Thank you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Ken, and all your years of service too. And you were one of my most favorite people to work with there. You've always been open and honest and such a good hearted person and a fellow Christian at that. So,
yes, sir, very much.
I really, Jesus Christ is my savior and died for my sins. And I thank the Lord for giving me every day on this earth to be able to make a change.
And that's my brother from another mother. You know, the Doc and Carolyn podcast is brought to you by Liquid Manna High Performance Hydration in the Woodlands, Conroe, Willis, New Waverly, and Huntsville. The DNCP is for entertainment purposes only and the exclusive property of DNC Media, LLC.